Welcome to the Souls Harbor Church podcast. We're glad you're here. We invite you to join us in person at the church at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. We have services on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday afternoon at 5, and Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. We invite you to come and join us. We're sure you'll be blessed. And now, Pastor Robert Clark.
You need to turn with me, if you will, for a little while this morning in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for those that are here, God, for the sheep that has come in, and Lord, desiring to be fed. And God, we ask you, Lord, to help us today through the Holy Ghost, Lord, to feed them. Give us liberty, Father, we pray, and wisdom and knowledge of the Lord Jesus, that we might, God, feed them today. Lord, to encourage them, to lift them up in you, and give them a hunger and a desire for a deeper walk with God. Father, we pray that you would hide us away behind the cross, and Lord, that you have your wonderful way in the name of Jesus, and we'll love and thank and praise you for it now and forever. Amen. Don't forget service at 5 o'clock this afternoon. Come on out. We're also going to have a great time. Now, I'm not sure how that I'm going to present this to you this morning. The Lord has really dealt with me about this message. I don't know if I'm going to preach it, if I'm going to teach it, or it's just going to come out however the Holy Ghost wants it. But I really do want you to pay really close attention to what the Lord has given me in this message. And I believe that when you leave here, that it'll strengthen you during the week to come. Now, obviously, there have been some problems during this week, various problems in various families and things that are going on. So I really feel like God has given me this message. So turn with me, if you will. Turn your Bibles and look at 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. I want you to see that. Put it on the screen. Brother Jimmy's got it up there. The Bible said the Lord knoweth how, and I want you to look at this before we really get into this. And I know it's been preached on millions of times probably over time, but I want you to look at it a little different light today. That the Lord knoweth how, and if we would stop right there, we could just say the Lord knoweth how, dismiss you and send you home, because that's exactly the tone of the entire message this morning, that the Lord really does know how. What's he know how to do? He knows how to deliver the godly out of temptation, and then to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. But the first part of this is what I want to deal with a little while here this morning, that the Lord knoweth how. And I begin to dig into this and find something that was really meaningful in the message. And I looked it up and I said, God, what's it really mean? The Lord knows how. What does that word really mean? How? What is really the interpretation of that? I began to do a little searching out on it, and I find this is what it means. It means by any means or whatever means. The word how means the Lord knoweth how, by whatever means that he chooses to deliver you in the situation that you're in. Other words, God may deal with me one way, God may deal with you another way, and God may deal with you another way, but it's the way the Lord has chosen by what means that he might deliver you in the dilemma that you may or may not be in, or that you may be in the week to come. So it simply means this: the Lord knoweth how, or by whatever means that he chooses to deliver you and to set you free for whatever situation that you're in. Let me give you a little illustration of what I'm talking about before I get too deep in this message this morning. We look at Daniel in the Old Testament, and God chose by the means that he wanted to deliver Daniel out of the lion's den. You know, he was put in the lion's den because of his prayer life and the way that he loved, served God, and the way that he prayed. And he was put in the lion's den. And when he got in there, God chose the angel by the means and ways to deliver him. But the Bible said God sent his angels and shut the mouths of the lions. The angel of the Lord was sent unto those lions, and that's by the means and the ways that God delivered Daniel in that situation. Now, we got the three Hebrew children. By what means did God deliver them in the situation that they were in? I began to get into this a little bit. And you know the story about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how that, you know, the king said, if you don't bow down, you're going to burn. And so they had made up their mind, our God's able to deliver us, but if he don't, we're still not going to bow down. And I kind of wondered in my mind about all three of these, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. The last one is named Abednego. Does that mean that he was bending this? Maybe he was saying, hey, Shad, are you sure we want to do this? Or are you sure we want to do this? I don't know. Maybe Shadrach said, hey, we're going to do it. And so they all fell in line. And so they went into the fiery furnace. Now, what really thrilled me about this part of it was that God looked down upon them, and Jesus, I'm going to use it as my imagination, and you can take it any way that you want to, but Jesus took it the end, looked at the end and said, hey, fellas, I'm gonna handle this one by myself, amen. I'm not going to send the angel, but I'm going to go down there. I'm going to handle this one by myself. And so when they put him in there, the king said, I see four men. One likened unto the Son of God, that I believe there was the Lord Jesus Christ himself. By what means he delivered them, I just feel like it was the Lord himself said, I'm going to handle this and by myself. You may be going through something today and you wonder what's going on. Don't worry about it, because God got the ways and the means to deliver you out of the situation you're in. And I begin to think about this, and I do that occasionally. But I began to think, I wonder what Jesus and these men were talking about in the fire. You say, well, I don't know if they're talking about anything. I don't know either. But can you imagine Jesus being there? They're not saying anything between the four of them. I don't know what was going on, but I believe there was a conversation going on between them and the Lord Jesus, whatever it may be. Let me tell you something this morning. When you get in a trial or you get in a temptation, or you get a time of sorrow or whatever it may be in your heart today, you can have a conversation with the Lord Jesus. Somebody say, man, the Lord is there, and you can talk to him. You can ask him why if you want to. You can ask him, Lord, I don't understand this. God, why this or why that? He's not going to rebuke you or do anything contrary to that, but he's going to answer you perhaps of what the thing and why that you're going through it. But when you're in the fire, Jesus is with you in the fire. Somebody, a little boy, said one time, Mother, what happened to Jesus after they got out? She said, well, he's still in the fire. Amen. He's still in the fire. He's there to take care of you and I. Then I want you to look at Abraham today and about this great man of God, how that by what means and ways that he delivered Abraham. The Lord knoweth how. And I want you to get that within your mind today. The Lord knoweth how, and by what means did he? And there's something that we overlook in this particular scripture that the Lord brought to my mind. You remember that Abraham took Isaac up there and he laid him on the altar. He's about to drive a stake through his heart or a knife through his heart and sacrifice him unto the Lord as what God had told him. And then, of course, God stopped him. And then there was a ram in the thicket that God had provided a ram in the thicket, and we dwell upon the ram. But hey, have you ever thought about the thicket? Have you ever thought about the tree that was there on Mount Moriah? Now I've been there about almost 10 times in Israel, and I've been to Mount Moriah a number of times, and it is a rock area. There is no trees whatsoever on Mount Moriah, and so God had to create the tree with the ram in order for him to have the sacrifice to offer unto God. So it wasn't only the ram was a miracle, it was the tree or the thicket that God provided as well as the ram on Mount Moriah. Then it brought to my mind about the Lord Jesus on Golgotha. If you was there today and you looked on Golgotha's hill, there is no trees up there whatsoever. It is just a barren area. But one day, 2,000 years ago, Jesus bore the tree on himself. Israel went up on Mount on that Golgotha, and they planted him there, suspended between heaven and earth. Simply like it was with Abraham, it was like Jesus that he bore that cross and he was nailed to a tree and became the supreme sacrifice that you and I would not be punished for our sin. Are you getting a glimpse of what I'm talking about? By what ways and what means that God will deliver you and I in the hour of our temptation or the hour of the trial that we're going through. By what means is God going to do that? You may not understand. I may not understand. And people will come to me as a pastor and say, Pastor, why am I going through this? Or what is the way out? God, could you tell me how to get through this spiritually, physically, or financially? And I really don't have the answer they want to hear. But I tell them, I say, look, the Lord knows how to deliver you. And God had promised in his word that he would deliver you. I don't know by what means God is going to do it, but I know that he's going to do it because the Lord knoweth how to deliver you and I in the hour of our temptation or the hour of our trial. So when I say unto you, the Lord knoweth how, I'm not evading the answer, but I'm telling you the answer. That God knows how, by what ways and means he's going to do it. I can't tell you, but I know that he's going to do it because the Bible said the Lord knows how to deliver the godly in the hour of their temptation and reserve the unjust of the day of judgment. You getting what I'm saying this morning? Look at Paul. God, by ways and means, sent the earthquake to deliver him. Look at Peter. He was in prison. God sent the angel to deliver him. All of these situations in the Bible, even in our lives today that we look at, and we wrestle with the things that are in our life today, and sometimes if you're like me, you come to the place and say, God, I can't stand it anymore. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know how you're doing it, but God, I know you can do it, but Father, I wish you would do it and get me out of this thing. So I want you to look, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly, what? Out of temptation, amen. Not in the temptation, but God knows how to deliver you out of it and to bring you out of it. He knows the way out. He knows the way through the wilderness. God's been there. He knows he's provided the way for you, and he's going to make the way for you, and you're going to come out of whatever situation you're in by the grace of God. God's going to bring you out. Why? Because he knows how to do it. Amen? He knows how to do it. So let's look at this for just a little while this morning. Now, in Job chapter 5, verse number 19, the Bible said, he shall deliver thee in six troubles, or maybe go on in seven troubles, that God knows how to deliver you and I from evil. Now, God's not saying, look, I'm just going to do it six times, or I'm going to do it seven times. It's kind of like that when the disciples came to Jesus and said, how many times shall we forgive somebody? The Lord said, shall we give them seven times 70? Well, you know, the Lord was just saying to them, you need to forgive them every time they come to you. And that's what Jesus is putting here in the Word, that six times or seven times, every time that you bring a problem to him, he knoweth how. He knows how to deliver you. He knows by what ways and means to bring you out of it. You may not like, now I may not like the way that he's going to bring us out of it, but God knows exactly how to bring us out of what we're in. Somebody say amen. And you'll understand where I'm going this morning. All right. In Psalms chapter 91, verse number 3, I want you to look at this very, very carefully this morning, if you will. It said, surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noise of the pestilence. Now, there's two words here that's very important that I want you to look at. One word is surely. What does this word surely really mean? You know, when you look at it, you read it, you go over it, you don't think a whole lot about it. But in searching this out, the word surely means masterfully. That God masterfully shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Masterly, not just surely, but masterfully. God knows how to deliver you in the hour and the time of your need. The second word I want you to look at is the word snare. From the snare of the fowler. Now, I saw an illustration the other day on TV on the animal chapter, I think it was, or the law chapter or something like that. And they were trying to capture this bear that they had gotten loose in the community. So they set up the snare there, and then they got a lot of donuts, and they began to put one here and one there and one there and one there and one there, and they led him right into the snare. But they put the most of them in the back of the snare. And so here comes the bear. So he picks up the one, he's sad, he don't look up, he picks another, he don't look up, he don't pay any attention, and pretty soon it leads him right into the snare, and then the door slams shut, and he is captured in that situation that he's in. Folks, I'm telling you, that's exactly what God is talking about today. He wants to deliver you and I from the snare of the fowler. Before you ever get into trouble, before you get trapped into what you're getting into, before you ever get into there, God wants to deliver you from the snare of that. Pay attention to him, and don't be led by the enemy into the trap that you're in. Once you get into there, it's hard and difficult, if not impossible, to get out. Let me give you an illustration this morning again. Somebody starts out in, they start out smoking a little bit, and then they go to something a little harder because that felt good, and they go into marijuana, and they take a little bit of that, and man, that feels good. And then pretty soon they go into some harder drugs, and then they go into harder drugs, and before they know it, they're trapped into that, and they can't get out of it, but they were led into that. And that's what God is talking about today, that we have to pay attention to what God is saying, because the devil lays a snare. God don't want you to get in the snare. God wants you to avoid the snare and pay attention to what he's saying. So he won't have to deliver you and get you out of there, because you never got in the snare to begin with. Are you following me? Are you understanding what I'm saying this morning? That the devil tries to lead you. He's not going to come and show you his done it. He comes as an angel of light. He comes in the little things, the small things, and gets you to partake of them. And then before it's all over with, he's trapped you in the snare and slammed the door, and you can't get out. Are you with me this morning? Listen to what I'm saying this morning, the help of the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, I'm having a hard time. I've been ensnared. I've been in those things, and I know a little bit about what I'm talking about. But you say, I can't get out of it. But the Bible said, there hath no temptation taken you, but which is as common to me. Come on now. There hath no temptation taken you, but is common to man. But with the temptation, God will make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You say you can't have it, I can't hardly handle it, and I've been there. I fell on my knees before God, said, Lord, I can't take any more. Lord, I can't do it. And the Lord will say, hey, it's all right, because somebody has been there before you got there, and they've overcome it, and you can overcome it also. There hath no temptation taken you, but is common to man. So the Lord, in 2 Timothy 4:18, and the Lord shall deliver me, not you, but the Lord's going to deliver me from the temptation from the devil, or whatever he's got from me. Now, I want you to look at that very clearly. I'm taking it slow because I want you to get every word of this. In 2 Peter 3:7, there's something here that you need to look at very, very carefully. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing that you know these things, that I'm talking about, you know the way the devil has dealt with you before. You know how he's led you into temptation or persecution or testing. You're well aware of his devious ways that he works in your life, or in the you've seen it in the lives of other people. You have the knowledge of the enemy. God has not left you and I without a knowledge of the enemy or the powers of hell or the way that he deals with us. God has not left us without that. He said, ye therefore, beloved, seeing you know these things, beware lest you all also be led away from the error of the wicked, from your own steadfastness. Being led away. God said, you know about it. You've been through it. You've seen it in the lives of other people. You know how you're going to be trapped into that thing if you go that way. God said, you know about it. But he said, I want you to realize you're going to be led away by the error of your way and the wickedness, and you're going to fall from your steadfastness. Then he went on to say this. He said, beware. Then he said, lest you be led away with the error of the wicked and fall from your own steadfastness. Amen. People say, oh, I'm strong in God. I love the Lord. Nothing's going to move me. Don't get that way. I mean, it's good to have confidence in God. It's good to know the Lord will take care of you. But you got to realize it's not you. It's God taking care of you. It's God healing your body. It's God meeting your financial need. It's God protecting you. It's God making the provision for your life. Everything that you have is in the hands of Almighty God today. We don't understand why these things happen in our life and bring sorrow and heartache and death and malice and envy and strife and all. We don't understand these things, but nevertheless, God has his own way of delivering you and I in the hour and the time that we're in need today. Somebody say amen. So, Pastor, how are we going to do this today? Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to grow in the grace and what? And the knowledge. Amen. We're going to grow in the grace and the knowledge. The Bible that teaches us that we need to know the ways of the enemy. We know the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. We know the ways of God. But we need to recognize when the devil comes by and tempts us or takes away our peace or our joy that we have in the Lord or whatever. But God said we need to grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. To him both be glory, both now and forever. There is a way of growing in God. Now, stay with me a few minutes. Only have a few minutes. Stay with me just a little bit. How are we going to grow in God's grace and God's knowledge? Number one, you need to study his word. Come on. You need to study the word of God because this is God's roadmap. God will teach you everything that you need to know. And if you can't read it, you need to hear it from behind the pulpit. And I was praying the other day, and I said, God, we've got some of the greatest men that are ministering in our church. Brother Leonard, Brother Jimmy, Dennis, and of course, myself. God, Lord, we got these. All we need is people to preach the gospel to. You're getting the word. You know. You have a knowledge of Jesus Christ and the hope of glory. And you have to grow in God. How are you going to grow in God? You have to do it by the word of God. You have to do it on your knees before God. And then you have to hear it behind the pulpit. You know, it comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. We need to grow. You know, anything that does grow dies or becomes deformed in their life. You got to grow in anything in this world that doesn't grow. It eventually dies and withers or becomes, something that hadn't ought to be. Everything in this life has to grow, and you and I have to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Listen to it. Go back with me, and I don't want to give you so much you can't remember, but go back with me and to verse 2 Peter 3 and 9, and look at it. Brother Jimmy, could you pull that up again, please, for me, for just a little bit, to realize that it all comes into the place of where that he knows how to deliver you and I out of temptation and reserve the unjust and the day of judgment to be punished. But we have to have that knowledge of God. Amen. We have to have that knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and understand that we are not going to be led away by the error, but we're going to be aware of the things that are going on in our life and question what the things are going on. God, is this from you? Lord, is my feeling from you? God, is my bitterness from you? Lord, is my joy from you? God, is my sorrow from you? Lord, what is going on in my life? Father, I want to know if these are in you, and if they're not of you, then, Lord, I want you to deliver me from them and set me free that I can be strong and grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that I pray for about as much or more than anything I know, that everybody here will have a deeper walk with God. a deeper hunger for God, a thirsting like you've never had before, that you have today, that God will give you that hunger and that thirsting. But you have to know the trials and the temptations and the persecution you're going through is a common thing of man. It's nothing that's unusual, but it's common in your life. But God has made a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Somebody say amen. Father, we thank you today, Lord, for the wisdom, the knowledge of your word. We thank you, Lord, for these precious people. And I pray that, God, you would bless them, strengthen them. And Lord, give them a hunger. Give them a thirsting, God, today for a deeper and a closer walk with you. And Father, don't let them be led in the snare, God, and be captured into that thing that may trouble their life. But Lord, I pray that you would help them today to be aware that that snare is there. And Lord, you're going to deliver us from it in Jesus' name. And we'll praise and love and thank you for it. Amen, amen.
Thanks again for joining us on the Souls Harbor Church podcast from Wichita, Kansas. We invite you to join us in church on Sunday mornings at 10:30, Sunday afternoons at 5, and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. We're here at 2601 North Meridian in Wichita, Kansas. God bless you and have a wonderful day.